It will be a little bit of a topical type message, so we'll be going around to all different spots throughout the Bible. That's the reason why we have the PowerPoint presentation for you this evening, so you can follow along a little bit easier. Our Easter musical cantata program, whatever you want to call it, many times what we'll do is after 5 or 6 years, we'll do the same one we did 5 or 6 years earlier, and that was this morning. The miracle I've seen was done 5 years ago in 2011. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was, and I know many people told me how much they enjoyed it, and I'm very thankful for it. That Sunday evening back in April 2011, I preached a message, I Stand in Awe, based off the song, also obviously from a story in the Bible of the Mary of Bethany, who came and anointed Jesus' feet. In that service, we talked about what the word awe meant, and it means fear mingled with admiration or reverence, fear inspired by something great. The word stand, he said, Pastor, we all know what stand means, but we're going to make application to tonight. He says stand means to stand erect, to stop, to halt, to proceed. So here's the thought is we're going, talking about standing in a admiration, talking about standing, stopping, and admiring, reverencing something. And in that sermon, we talked about worship. We talked about Mary of Bethany's extravagant gift and the worship that she has, and the word worship, how it means to adore. Talks about worthy and how that act of worship is talked about all around the world even today. We mentioned that standing in awe means that we have to take time to worship. We have to stop and consider. We're not going to be impressed with Jesus Christ if he's not on our heart and mind. We're not going to take the time to reverence and admire him if we don't take the time to just stop and look and consider. Also, we talked about in that message how Mary did not care what others people thought. Remember how Judas made the accusation or the suggestion about selling it to the poor and things like that. So when we talk about standing in awe tonight, there's three different things I want us to look at. But all I'm trying to do is just kind of maybe whet our appetite to just taking this spot in this moment and remember a Resurrection Sunday to just spend some time just considering and thinking of Christ and considering and taking it with you, his thoughts about him, and maybe spending some time this week and just reverencing, respecting, admiring, standing still so you can have the opportunity to let God speak to your heart. Because like I said, we are super busy people. We always have things to do. We always have going one spot to another spot. One thing that many people, maybe not you, but I know I struggle with is taking the time to meditate, taking the time to consider, taking the time just to stand still and consider who God is. So tonight, that's what we're going to look at. Psalms chapter 33, verse 8, the Bible says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. As this is what the scripture is saying, is that let everyone that is in this world just stand in awe of him. Three things tonight. First, I want you to think about this. Stand in awe of his creation. Stand in awe of his creation. That's where you get this from Psalms chapter number 8, where it says in verses 3 and 4, when I consider thy heavens. What a wonderful thought there. Once again, standing and considering. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And it's just the idea that you can imagine the picturesque scenes that we see all around the world. Not just the stars and the moons, not just the heavenly things, but you can consider the mountains and you consider the vast domains that just are impressionable and just breathtaking. These were all created by God. But then it goes on, and this is a great verse and a great thought. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? Now, all these verses are things we could spend hours talking about, so we have to go through them a little bit quickly. But when we stand in awe and we think about it, I want us to stand in awe of his creation. If we take time, and maybe you go back to maybe the most picturesque place you've been, and maybe it's a mountainside, or maybe it's some type of canyon. Maybe it is looking through a microscope at the beautiful star formations. Maybe it is looking at some type of nature and just saying, man, this is great, this is beautiful. You know what? When we stop and look at that and consider that, God created that. Jesus Christ can. So when we stand, and then we consider, and he says, don't just stop and just consider it and see how beautiful it is. Now ask yourself the question, what is man? When God has created all these things and done all these things, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, in a world where we have 6-7 billion people, in a world where we've been thousands of years here on this earth, to consider the God who's created all this, and that we are nothing but on the spectrum of a vast universe, just a little speck on planet Earth. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves that way. We think of ourselves as independent and important. But when you think about all creation, you think about the billions and trillions of people that have gone throughout creation all these years, our little spot, that God knows us, he loves us, knows the number of hairs that are on our head. I think that's amazing. Some people is a little bit easier to count than others, but he knows the number of hairs on our heads. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I don't know about you. I consider the creation of God, and it can be breathtaking. You know, we can stop and stand in awe of his creation, the beauty of it. Guess when you consider it, remember who's created this. Second thing I want you to think under creating his creation, think about the complexity of his creation. The complexity of his creation. Psalms 139 verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. The complexity of his creation. We could talk about a lot of different things, but think about man for a second. We live in an amazing world. The greatest of all creations is man himself. The marvelous machine, precise and efficient. The human body has a dynamic framework of bone and cartilage called the skeleton. The human skeleton is flexible with hinges and joints that were made to move, but to cut down harmful friction, such moving parts must be lubricated even. You know, God provides all these things. Even think about, just think about the eye for a second. And the Bible, God tells us about the human, that God's eternal power and divine nature is clearly seen in all the things that he's made. One of the most obvious displays of his creative power is in the human eye. If you would just take a little bit of time to consider the human eye, you would be in awe. Why? Because of who made it. Even Darwin himself, Charles Darwin, conceded that to suppose that the eye, with all of its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus of different distances, for emitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic abbreviation could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd, in the highest possible degree. Darwin himself said, it's absurd to think that that just somehow evolved. Now later on, Darwin, realizing that contradicts his origin of species, came back and he changed and made it sound good later on. But even he says, it's absurd, stupid to think that it's that the eye can just somehow evolve. You know, it's the complexity of God's creation. If you just take a little bit of time to consider and stand in awe of his creation, one of the things I've been enjoying about our kids' crusades the last few years is we've had some type of science lab, and we've learned about animals and learned about other things. And it's amazing how God gives certain animals, not all animals, certain animals, maybe a sixth sense. So that way it can do something that no other animal can do, to be able to protect itself. He divinely designs defenses for them. It appears that these abilities were genetically present in the original creatures, but you know what? God has designed them in a way that they can survive. Who can do that? Only God can. It's complex, the way that God... You say, Pastor, why do you make... Because we serve such a great God. You know, we serve a God that we can just stop and just be mesmerized if we'll just consider the beauty of his creation and the complexity of his creation. But think about the control he has over his creation. You think about the stories about how the I'm sure the disciples over and over were amazed what Jesus could do. Even Andrew had to ask that little boy, what are these amongst, about the little boy's lunch? What are these among so many? I think he was anticipating what God may be able to do. Some people think, well, he was just being silly. You know, but when were the disciples standing in awe? It says, when the winds and the waves, when it says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, but the men marveled, say, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? Luke chapter 8, verse 24, same thing, the story, but Jesus says, they wake Jesus up saying, Master, Master, perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and they were calm. And he said unto him, he looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and says, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So if we're talking about the majesty of God, and we're talking about the character of God, and we're talking about the respect and reverence and the great awe that we should stand in of God, consider that he's in control of the creation that is beautiful and complex. You think about the different things. He calls the water and the winds to cease, and the disciples are like, wow. It's amazing. God can even do that. And you think about it. What else did he do? He calls the Red Sea to part. I don't know. That's got to be one of the greatest miracles, to have a sea and to have millions of people to walk over on dry land. I don't know how he did it, but I would have liked to have been there to watch as seas get pulled back apart. And he calls a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He told the sun to stand still and it listened. He held the lion's mouth and didn't let it eat David. He told the winds and seas to stop, and they obeyed him. And you think about when he talked about this Easter story, I love the fact when all those Roman guards came to the garden, and there's, I think, hundreds of them at least, that legion of, you know, soldiers. And he said the words, I am, and they all fell over. I like that part of the story. Why? It's because of the fact that he is an amazing God. Just look at his creation. You know, if you want to stand in awe of the Lord, all you have to do is go and look at the creation of things he's created. They're beautiful. Consider the complexity of them. Consider what it takes to make our eye work, and maybe just our nervous system, other things, and even different animals, the different little things that God has placed in this world that screams there had to be a divine designer. Somebody had to make all this. This could not have just happened. And then you consider he's control of all of it. Nothing that he cannot do. He can call the winds and the waves to stop. He can cause a great storm to happen. He can say, tell the sun to stand still and to stand still. Now, let me ask you this question. If God can do all these things, what is it that we're not trusting for him to do in our life today? When we stand in awe of him and we remember all this, when we consider thy works, thy fingers have done, what is it that God can't do for us? What is it that we are doubting and we say we cannot move forward in faith because of the fact that we believe that God either will not or cannot hear us? What is it? And I want to encourage you, when we stand in awe of God and we take in the creation of God, it speaks to us about the power of God. The second thing I want you to see is not only the standing of awe of his creation, I think I stand in awe of his compassion. Standing in awe of his compassion. And the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion of them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, many times when people see the multitudes, they don't care. They want to go the other way. Not Jesus. He sees them and he wants to help them. And if you look at those other verses, it talks about different people in different situations that Jesus showed compassion upon people and how Jesus showed his love upon people. It talks about the woman at Nain when her son, and he tells her not, weep not. It talks about the blind Bartimaeus and how he received their sight. It talks about the leopards that he touches and he says that he will make them whole. Over and over in the Bible, you think about it. This woman in Nain had lost her son, and Jesus could have kept on walking by, and you know, they could have sent some type of basket, or they could have sent some type of food to help. No, he tells her not to weep, and he delivers her son alive. Blind Bartimaeus, the crowd said, be quiet. He says, come. The 5,000, the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples said, send them all away. And once again, the disciples were, you know, Jesus Christ's helpers. They had served all the time, but they were tired and they were weak. Jesus looked at them and says, have them sit down. Think of the maniac of Gadara. People say he was so uncontrollable. People would walk away from the gardens or the tombs to stay away from him. Jesus puts him in his right mind. The woman with the issue of blood. You know, the father who wanted his daughter healed thought she was a waste of time. But Jesus had compassion. The thief dying on the cross. Jesus is giving himself for the lives and sins of mankind while they're dying, experiencing what no man has or ever would be able to experience. He saves him. What compassion. You think about Judas betraying Jesus, and even those nights when he looked at Judas and said, woe to the man that betrayeth the Son of Man, it'd be better for that man if he'd never been born. He's trying to help Judas understand they're going the wrong way. And even when Judas comes and kisses him on the cheek, he says to Judas, friend, why is that? Because he loved Judas. He calls Peter back into the ministry, and we could, after him, Peter denying him, and we could look in here and we could see how Jesus loved people and how Jesus was compassionate on people and how Jesus helped people. That story about the woman in Samaria, it said that he must needs go through Samaria. Why? There was a woman there that needed to hear. Why would he go so far out of his way to be compassionate? I think if we would just stop, and I know creation is something that's in front of us, and we could say, wow, just look at that. With compassion, we have to go back in our mind, and we have to remember who we were, what we would have been without Christ. I don't know what the world would be like today if Jesus Christ never came. I don't even know what the world would have been like if we were just allowed to go on our sins. I don't even know if we'd be here. I think the world somehow would have, some madman would have probably learned how to blow us all up before all that happened. But thankfully, we don't have to worry about that. Thankfully, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Compassion that he has. He saw her need. He saw our need. He commended his love toward us. He proved, he demonstrated, he showed his love towards us. Man, if we all take time to think about how compassionate he was in the scriptures and how compassionate he is to us today. Why do we think he doesn't care about us? Why do we have times where we wonder whether or not he even hears from us? He's God. He is in control of creation, and he loves us. He's proved that to us. He has showed that to us. He has demonstrated that to us. If we would take time to stand in awe of the compassion that Jesus, God's Son, has demonstrated to us, it can make a big difference. Not only do I stand in awe of his creation and his compassion, I stand in awe of his conquest. You know, the amazing thing that there was no one else that did what Jesus could do. No angel would have worked. No human could have done it. Only the Lamb of God could have died for the sins of mankind. In Romans 1:18, you have that verse that says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Do you realize what the resurrection means? We heard it in a little bit in the story today from John, and he says, you know what this means? He has conquered sin. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered death. He has conquered hell all at one time. Praise the Lord. If we'll stand in awe of the conquest that he has, it will remind us of something. What will it remind us of? That because of his conquest, we can be conquerors also. Think about what it says in John 16:33. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. And listen to this. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are reminded that because he conquered the grave for us, that someday we will also be in heaven. It says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? When we stand in awe of what he has done, it reminds us of something. He has equipped us now as believers to where we no longer have to be under the bondage of sin. Romans chapter 6, fantastic chapter of the Bible. For he that is dead is freed from sin. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 6 that we do not have to sin. We have, because of what Jesus Christ did for us, because he conquered death, grave, and the hell, we actually have a choice. And we can go and take our bodies as instruments of righteousness or of unrighteousness. The choice is ours because of his conquest. And I want to encourage you tonight. You know, on Resurrection Sunday, my hope today was just to kind of whet your appetite to where maybe this week you'll go and just spend some time alone with the Lord and just stop and stand in awe of him and just consider, man, look at what he's created. Look at how complex it is. Look at the compassion he has shown us. Look, can you see the conquering and the conquest? I mean, we could take time and talk about, we can stand on all of his characteristics. You think about his holiness. You just stand back and you look at what it says in Isaiah chapter number 6. You see him high and lifted up and sitting on the throne. It's amazing the time that you can spend considering Jesus Christ, considering God the Father. You can stand in awe of all those things. But how many of us take time? I know it's Easter Sunday night or Resurrection Sunday night. And I know, we had lots of people here this morning. And that's great. I'm thankful for that. I know not as many people are going to come back tonight. But how many of us this week are going to take time to spend with him, praising him, rejoicing in him, standing in awe of his presence and saying, Lord, you are worthy. You go to the book of Revelations. When they get there and they're crying out, worthy is the Lamb. You go to the book of Isaiah, when he got that vision of God, we need to sense what Isaiah sensed. We need to say what Isaiah said. And he says, here am I, Lord, send me. When you get a good picture of him and you stand in awe of him and you see that he is the creator and the creation he is in complete control of, you can say, Lord, this is not my body. This is yours. Do what you want with it. When we see the compassion he has, we know that his plan is better than any plan we come up for ourselves. It might make worldly sense if we do things this way, but if God's plan says, hey, I want you to do it my way, we know by his compassion, we have no other choice but to say yes. That little boy today with the lunch, I'm guessing he could have made a little bit of money that day. Hey, look, I'm the only one that has food here. Let me sell a fish. Anybody got a shekel? You know, and he could have auctioned it off. He might have got something. I don't know. That would have been worldly wisdom, wouldn't it? But Jesus says, hey, give me what you have. He says, I don't got any choice here. You can have it. You know, when we understand and we stand in awe of his compassion, the demonstration of the love that he's proved to us and showed to us, how can we do anything else than what he desires us to do? I know it doesn't make any sense. I know it doesn't, human reasoning. We should not do this, this, and this. But when we consider that we are his creation and that he has been compassionate to us, what can we do but give what he's asked? But also, we think of that conquest. When you're facing that, sin this week. True worship of God means I care more about God than that sin. I count Him worthy. See, that's what worship is. Worth-ship. It's worthiness. I love God too much. I want to worship Him by saying no to my flesh and yes to God. And because of His conquering of the death and the grave and sin and hell, we have that ability. We can say no to our flesh. It says, God, You are worthy. God, I deem You worthy. I'm not going to become angry. I deem You worthy. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to listen to that. Lord, I want to worship You. I want to take the time to stand and say, you know what? My flesh is screaming, I should do this. But my heart is saying, Lord, I love You more. I stand in awe of You. And because of how much I love You and see You and understand You, I choose to say no to myself and yes to God. I stand in awe. Let's take a little bit of time, even now, during our invitation time, to think about God, to worship Him. Maybe He's speaking to your heart about giving something up. Maybe He's speaking to your heart about making commitment that He wants you to make. He's worthy of it. That's what worship is. You know, Pastor, we're here, we sing. I get that. And that's good. But in John chapter 4, when He was talking to the woman of the well, it's we worship in spirit and in truth. You know, it's not just, you know, because we're here. It's the truth that's in our heart and the spirit by which we do it. And it says that God is seeking for worshipers like that. Ones who would say, God, You are worthy. Not just for me to say a couple words in a song. You are worthy for me to live my life in a way that will please You. Because You are God. I see You as God. I lift You up as God. And I stand in all of You. Those disciples says, what manner of man is this? They marveled. Even the winds and the seas obeying. They just saw Him feed 5,000 people and they're like, wow, He can even do that? Answer is yes. And if we allow God to work in our hearts and lives, we'll say, wow, God can even use me to do that too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.